Welcome back to Drinks First, the podcast about New York City's kinda eligible, where you can match with the guest that you are hearing today, or, you know, in past episodes as well. And you can hear all that information at the end of the podcast. I am your host, Ariana, and this is the final episode of the season.
Wow, high stakes.
High stakes. We have, are we friends? I just...
I'm not only just kind of eligible, I'm extremely eligible.
Oh, you're on the wrong podcast.
Can I paint the picture here? I'm laying down, fully horizontal, a cup of Black Label, and talking to Ariana as if she's my therapist. Free therapy session.
Pretty much, except I roast you.
Yeah, yeah. What's new, though?
That's true. Okay, so my guest has already taken the liberty to insert their opinion, but they can... Why don't you give us a little background? How old are you? Where are you from? Where are you now? What are you doing?
All right, yeah, I can take it from here. So I think I came from a town where in a previous episode you referred to us as B&T people, and I can't even explain how upset I was when I heard that. I'm from Westchester, New York, Scarsdale specifically.
Right, you were upset because it was accurate?
I just seemed generally rude, extremely disrespectful to a very loving and warm group of people that just want to be included in the New York tri-state area.
Okay, all right.
All right, so I'm from Scarsdale, New York.
So you're B&T.
I'm B&T, yes. Proudly B&T. Although I live in the city now, getting into that. I live in Chelsea. I'm very proud to live in Chelsea. I call myself a Chelsea boy, one of quite a few of them. I really, though, live in Nomad. So let me just get that out there first. I don't actually live in Chelsea. I live in Nomad.
It's like teetering on Chelsea.
It's just right on the brink, but I really want to live in Chelsea because Nomad is where a bunch of like early 30s that are kind of boring live.
Yeah, and they all eat at like Sugarfish and Made Nice.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I spend a lot of times at Made Nice. Their kale salad is pretty amazing. But yeah, I'm on the brink. I'm 22.
You're 22.
Yes, 22, and I'm a software developer.
Software startup. Developer. Cool. Yeah. And where do you work?
I work in Hudson Yards, which is the most man-made or person-made area in the world.
Yeah, it is.
It's kind of off-putting.
Yeah, it is.
It's good for work, though, because...
It's great for work.
You see people constructing buildings around you, and you're like, why can't I construct this piece of code?
All right. You heard it here first. Hudson Yards is inspiring?
Absolutely.
You look out on that vessel, and you're like, I could go for a shawarma right now.
Well, the vessel confuses me because...
Tell me it doesn't look like a shawarma.
It looks like a shawarma. Absolutely delicious. But where in the city do you see such a lapsadaisical use of space? Like, all of New York City is so dense, like, so smartly planned. And you're telling me a group of people came and pitched the vessel. And another group of people were like, that's it.
You know, they haven't even decided that the vessel is the name. They're, like, open to changing it.
They're like, I mean, what part of it is a vessel?
I don't know.
It's hollow.
No.
Vessel usually refers to ship. You put that thing in water, it's going straight to the bottom.
It looks like a honeycomb.
Honeycomb I like. Most people I meet have the bumblebee reference for sure.
So you're a fucking nerd.
Yeah, proudly.
Proudly. Where did you go to school?
Running on the software developer train, I went to school at Carnegie Mellon. Yeah.
Okay.
No one's going to care about this, but I did electrical and computer engineering.
I mean, people care.
On average, I'll stay till 6:37, but it's not, some people are like, oh, you work late. Some people are like, oh, that's early. Everyone has different like opinions on hours. But for me, I think that's just right because I get what I want to do done and I'm not like annoyed when I leave. Like I'm still happy.
Yeah.
Because I like what I do.
Yeah.
And some days I'm there till like 8:30 because company pays for dinner after 7:30 and some days I peace out at 5.
Yeah. So if you, it seems like you have some time, like what do you do with your free time?
Yeah, I think I pour like most of my free time into dance. Mm-hmm. Like as you probably know, it's definitely scaled up since I've come to the city. But yeah, I think like I'm the kind of person that likes organized fun, as nerdy as that sounds. Like
you're really coming off as a fucking
nerd. It's really bad actually, I'm seeing. But it's kind of true. Like, I'm like a huge dweeb.
Yeah.
But like in the way I say organized fun, because a lot of people are like, all right, work's over. Like, I want to turn my brain off and like, that's how I relax. Yeah. Like, that's how I have fun. Whereas like, I'm the complete opposite. Like, I love like loading my schedule with things after work, because then like I look forward to that, and it's, I just enjoy that. I think like actively having fun or like getting better at things. So the thing about dance is that it's something I started 3 years ago, but it's something I can put all my time into, and there's a tangible effect of that time, which is I'm getting to be a better dancer.
You didn't know how to dance at all.
I was hot garbage. Like, so when I say I pour my free time into dance, I take class, usually every Wednesday, sometimes Mondays too.
What kind of dance do you do?
Hip-hop, exclusively hip-hop. And yeah, so A is class, studios like House of Movement, Brick House, Paradance. For you dancers out there in New York, you might recognize. For you new dancers in New York, it's kind of hard to find them. Those are the three that are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm part of a dance team. And so we just competed in like local New York.
And you guys won.
We did very shockingly win our first competition, yeah.
You're a really good dancer now, so that's...
Thank you.
It's true. Like, you put a lot of time and a lot of hard work into something. I feel like that's kind of what... That's like your thing.
That's what I was hitting at, yeah.
Yeah, it's like you are committed. You are like the most committed person if you want to do something.
Yeah.
And like, you will make sure you get it done.
Yeah.
So we skipped over something I like to ask everyone. We touched on it really briefly. What restaurants do you really like, and where do you like to go out in New York?
Yeah. So as a B&T person, it's, you know, pretty
tough.
It's hard.
Must be really hard, I'm sure.
Get to grips with the city, because there isn't like your normal place that everyone goes like it was in Scarsdale. But I've been exploring a bit. I think I interned here last summer, so I have like some knowledge, not nothing. Restaurant-wise, just recently went to this restaurant, Laut, L-A-U-T.
Mm.
I'm born in Singapore, used to live in Malaysia, and I think those like cuisines are some of the best in the world for me. And so Laut, I think, hits at that really well. Like Singapore soft-shell chili
crab.
How
long did you live in Malaysia for?
3 years, but from the like ages of 1 to 4.
Yeah.
So like when people ask me about it, I have some memories, but there's like no way of telling whether those are constructed. So Laut is a great restaurant. I'm a big fan of home cooking.
Yeah.
I think...
You're a meal prepper.
Yeah, I'm a meal prepper. I think my apartment in Chelsea is one of the best restaurants you can
Nomad.
Go to. And then places to go out, tough. I mean...
Here's the thing. You are often the organizer for your friends.
Was. What I will... I think at CMU, I was very explicitly the organizer at CMU, oftentimes officially assuming the role
of social chair.
Of social... I don't want to get into my frat boy days.
All
we
right,
can.
Well,
but
we'll come back to it.
We'll circle back.
You're all over the place right now.
I'm really all over the place. The... Black Label's got me feeling a little bit loose. No, I'm used to being the organizer, but I think when you come to New York, people have their own agendas more. Not in a bad way. A lot of times people say agendas in a bad connotation, but people have an idea of something they want to try a little more.
Okay.
And I think when I first moved to New York, I was trying to do the things I read about. But was coming into like a lot of conflict with what other people read about. And it was like somewhat uncomfortable, because like you don't want to be at a pregame and one person's like, oh, I want to go here. Another I want to go here.
So, I mean, what have you found thus far that you really like?
This one's a little basic. Apotec in Chinatown. I really It's an apothecary themed bar, but like they do live jazz during the week. I think that's super fun. High key, in terms of high key moves, the ones that I like at all. I just recently got in there.
Finally.
She's,
I like at all a
yeah,
lot.
It's disco vibes, and I think disco is really fun. Shout outs to the Jungle Bird, of course.
Oh yeah, we love Jungle Bird.
Jungle Bird and Chelsea got one of the best group drink deals you can get.
Chelsea Boys.
Chelsea Boys represent. So there's a couple things there. Still learning though.
Those are good places though. I mean, I like all of those places.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I feel like I thought I would have lost you with Apotec.
I feel like I've only been there once, like a long time ago, but I did not like it.
Yeah. The China Chalet, though.
China Chalet.
Speaking of going down south.
But China Chalet is fun based on the party that's being thrown there.
Been there twice. Both amazing.
It's not about the venue. It's about the party But all of the parties I've been to there have been fun.
China Chalet is down in Fidai. It's like a Chinese, it's just a Chinese restaurant that sometimes decides to host events.
Yeah, and
like it's exactly what I just described.
No, literally. And what's wild about it is that it is in Fidai, so like once you make that move, that's pretty much your move for the night.
It is. Because
there's nothing else there.
Look, I went to the China Chalet once and bounced to try to meet a girl in Kips Bay. And I can't tell you how much I regret that decision. I spent like, what, 35 minutes or whatever.
On the subway,
in a car. I decided to take a car. You know I usually take the subway. Yeah. But I was like, I want to get there fast. And by the time I got there, she had left.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surrounded in what was possibly the most Caucasian party I've ever been to. No hate, but like there was like, you know, Diplo blasting and a bunch of people ripping Bud Lights from the bar.
Good, good.
And like everyone is like a little wobbly. It was like SantaCon minus the Santa costumes.
Oh, and you went to SantaCon, right?
I observed.
Like, okay.
I don't say I went.
I mean, you went if you were there.
I attended.
And you were dressed up.
Like people say white people don't have culture.
That's like, their culture.
White people have culture, you know? It's about screaming like Mr. Brightside and like ripping tequila shots.
So why we touched on it very slightly. You mentioned
a
girl.
We're half hour in and we have not even touched my dating life.
I know. This is what I'm saying. We're literally all over the place.
We're in for a doozy today.
Tell me about your dating life.
Ooh.
You didn't see that one coming.
No. Where to begin? Probably with the only relationship I've ever had.
He looks wistfully in the distance.
So I was 16.
Uh-huh.
And I went to one of those summer college camps. And back when I was 16, I like to describe it as like, sometimes I felt like I reminisce as if I was a passenger in my own life.
I feel like I'm strapping into something that's going to be like a very cathartic moment for you.
I mean, I'm here
to like
to gain emotional insight to myself.
All right. I guess that's my job and I'm here to do that.
Ariana is my therapist today. Yes. No, so 16, go to the college summer camp. And like, I was just classically one of those, like, if you think I'm nerdy now, I was like super nerdy back then.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where my views on emotions were robotic. Like, I thought emotions were like something people made up to entertain themselves.
What?
Because I was also highly existentialist, which maybe I'm not now, but definitely less, but still pretty existentialist, which is that like there's somewhat of a lack of a point in life. But I'd say I'm optimistically existentialist because I think that's a good thing. I think that means you can take it your own way and have as much fun as you want and paint your own path. But anyway, diverging from philosophy, back to dating.
Mm-hmm.
I met this girl who I thought was just like way too pretty for me. But I was like, we're here to try new things. Let me talk to a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And we start texting. Probably one of the first girls I've ever texted. I'd only ever kissed two girls before this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And she's sending like emojis and like winky faces. And I'm absolutely tweaking out. because I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
Like what this means. I don't have high enough self-confidence to believe someone will be interested in me. We kiss, which for me is a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to the end of the summer. We're not like dating or whatever, but we've had like experiences over the summer together.
Mm-hmm.
And she like leaves. As she's leaving, like her parents are in the car outside, she just looks at me. It's pouring rain because like of course the world was like F you and we're gonna make this cinematic.
Right.
Like, I love you. And this after like 2 months of like a month I guess of knowing her. And in my brain, this is how robotic I am, which at the time I'm a little different now, but I make the mental calculation because I'm like, I don't know if I love this girl. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea. And I'm like, I do the little math and I'm like, carry the one. There's no response here other than I love you too, right? Like whether, because I definitely don't not love her.
Yeah.
So I say it back and then she's gone. And then immediately after she leaves, I'm like decimated. And that's
in
like,
the rain.
In the
crying.
Rain. In my room. Yes, crying. yes. I'm not unafraid to say I was absolutely bawling.
Yeah.
And that was the first real emotion I've like ever felt in my life. Which was crazy, because then I immediately, of course, as you know me, make a 7-hour playlist. It's my most popular playlist on Spotify.
Right.
Lots of John Mayer.
Right.
Bit of Frank Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Hell of a Drake. A lot of Drake.
We know.
Yeah.
We all assumed.
And then she's from upstate New York. So then it gets to the point where like, I'm trying to figure out, is this a real relationship? Like, are we still dating?
Yeah.
What the F just happened? Like, we just said we loved each other and she's gone.
Yeah.
Obviously we text each other. And she luckily the next weekend was like, oh, I'm going to be near your area in Westchester.
Mm-hmm.
Can I come over and we can talk and figure this out? So she comes over. In my brain, I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I need to break up with this girl.
Mm-hmm.
Because distance, I've seen it wreck one of my friends. Like, this is just not the move. So we're sitting in my basement.
Such a wise 16-year-old.
Such a wise 16-year-old, also just scared of risk.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at her and I'm like, I have feelings for you, like whatnot, but... And I'm like so nervous. I'm like, I think we maybe shouldn't do this. And she looks at me and she goes, no. She's like, I don't know anyone like you in my town. We're doing this. And I'm so nervous. I just don't know what to say.
She's a boss.
Yeah. And so then we dated for 2 years.
Wow. Long distance.
I call it medium distance because like, you know, long distance, like London to New York is like hard, or Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
But she was just upstate. So it was a 3-hour, 4-hour bus.
Mm-hmm.
So every other week, I'd just go visit her. And it was, like, pretty good for, a long time.
Yeah.
Because also, think about somebody who's, like, not thinking too hard into things. It's just like, oh, like, I can focus on my work here. And then, like, every other week, I get to have fun and, like, hang out with my girlfriend.
Yeah, honestly, I'm not going to lie. Like, long distance, there were some, like, when I did it, there were some ups. Like, I could focus on being at school and, like, being with my friends and having a good time. And like, then when it was time for me to like be and spend time with my boyfriend, like that was the time for us, you know?
Yeah.
So
there was an isolation and an abstraction of what your like goals were. Like,
yeah.
When I was with her, I was her boyfriend. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
When I was with my friends, I was their friend and that's it.
Right.
And it was completely separate.
So you were basically in this relationship until the end of college.
Yeah.
I mean, high school.
High school. Yeah, not college. High school. And it ended pretty poorly. I mean, in short, basically, her prom was 2 weeks before my prom. I realized she'd been being, like, a little distant, but I didn't think too much of it.
Mm-hmm.
I go up for her prom. She's definitely being weird at the prom. We leave early. We're sitting in her basement. Basements are a common theme in the suburbs, if you don't know.
Got it.
And she's just like, look, like, I want to break up. And I don't want you to think that I cheated on you, but I am going to start dating this next person. And that was like, in the moment, I don't know. Again, I kind of like these high stress moments sink into like a hyper rational.
Yeah.
Like being like the same way in the I love you moment, in a different side. In this moment, I was like, oh, like, I guess we're gonna break up anyway. Like,
yeah,
I'm glad she at least told me. And then I get home and I'm decimated because it just kicks in later.
Right.
And so I was like really hurt for like a month, like a long time.
Yeah.
Because I obviously, as a kid, like I was young, I had gone like full on into my mindset. Like, when it's the first girl you like, first girl like you're dating, you're like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna marry this girl, blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah, and 2 years is a long time.
So yeah, we had like, it was like weird. I had to relearn things.
Yeah.
I texted my friend, I was like, do you have somebody you text every day? And she was like, not really, like kind of. It was like, I had to ask these questions.
Yeah.
And
you got used to being in like a routine with this person.
Yeah. But although it was like a really painful moment, I think it was the most eye-opening and the greatest moment in like my life, because ever since that point was when I took like time to think about, like, really learn who I was, because I said that parallel earlier with the passenger of my own life, but at that point I like got out of the car, got in the driver's seat, because then I realized I have so much time, I have so much like free land to run in, like I learned I love to cook. I learned I love to dance. I made like a lot of great friends, you and like everyone I know at school, and I was like more awake. And that kind of came from like...
Do you think that happened like before college though, or do you think it was like...
It was in college.
Yeah.
It was
I think
college.
All of college was probably that journey for you.
Definitely.
But I would say that like your love life got, like, you had time to explore.
Yeah.
Like in college.
Each year was like wildly different.
Do you want to walk us through it?
Yeah. Okay. Again, I'll walk you through it because this was like, I guess, the most interesting parts in my like love life.
Mm-hmm.
Freshman year, complete break.
Yeah.
Hard separation. I was like, I don't want to talk to a girl in a romantic manner.
Yeah.
For like a long time.
So you just made a ton of girlfriends.
Ton of friends that are girls, which at CMU, which, you know, is not necessarily the most social school, like having a lot of friends that are girls, like put me in a place which was like kind of good for me socially.
Really good, yeah.
Our parents know each other. And like, so her dorm's across the street from mine. I'm in the all boy dorm across the street.
You didn't want to meet me.
Yeah, this is true. So I'm across the street. My mom and dad are helping me move in. Like, you need to meet this girl. She's our family friend.
And we had met before. And
we
had
met once.
Like me.
And I decided that, you know, this is the kind of girl to call me a B&T person. So I'm obviously big fan. That's really the vibe I got from the beginning.
I would
And you have
it.
Called me a B&T person.
To your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't like you.
No. So what's new?
So I'm sitting there and I'm like, I don't want to meet this girl, Mom. Like, this is college.
And you know? I'm sitting in my dorm room being like, Mom, like, I can
That's
make
That's not true.
My own
she's asking her friend to meet me, her mom to meet me for sure.
That definitely didn't happen. Okay, continue.
So then, obviously, you know, I can't say no to my mom. So I trudge across the street. I go into...
From your all-boys dorm.
From my all-boys dorm, which smells like boys.
It was
from like
so awful.
From the first second we all moved in, it was like, oh, that's
so
B.O.
Bad.
I walk in and there's just like 5, 6, 7 beautiful women in Ariana's room. Just like absolutely stunning. And I'm like, heart in mouth, and I'm like, this is amazing. I'm like, hey, so nice to meet you.
Yeah. And we've all been really great friends since freshman year.
Yeah, just like amazing friends since that. And so that was freshman year, right?
Yeah.
And that's just one story, but that's essentially all of freshman year.
Yeah.
And I joined a fraternity. I like to put a disclaimer. I think it's a bit different than fraternities across the world. Everyone has their own vibe.
Yeah.
I think we're very goofy, and I like to think we're very, like, respectful.
You guys were the most respectful.
Yeah.
You guys were the house I felt the most comfortable at, always.
Yeah, and that's something we always, like, wanted to, like, have people say.
Yeah. Because,
like, we value that. Sophomore year, a little different. Not too different. So sophomore year...
You're living in the fraternity house.
I'm living in the fraternity house, which is squalor.
You're in it. Yeah.
I'm...
Absolute squalor.
But the vibes are pristine. The house is squalor. But, like, I have never felt more supported in my life.
Yeah.
Because, like, you have 20 people on your floor and 20 people on another floor that are, like, willing to, like, die for you.
Yeah. It's true.
Which was, like, amazing.
You guys had a really strong brotherhood.
Yeah. And
you were at the helm.
Yeah, so sophomore year was, I just went on an absolute rant of the, like, in my election speech of, like, people don't think about the events they throw. Like, what is being the social chair of a fraternity? You're given all the resources you could ever want as, like, a 9-year-old to throw the most fun events you can ever have. You're given, like, depending on your house, like thousands of dollars, like tens of thousands of dollars for other schools,
mm-hmm.
and a house of people that you consider your brothers and your friends, and you want to invite other people you know
mm-hmm.
in a land full of people your age
yeah.
to just have fun.
Yeah.
That's your explicit goal. So I was like, how are people not begging to do this job?
Mm-hmm.
So I come into it, I'm like, I want to do things a little bit differently than we have normally done it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever want somebody to come to a party and feel like they need to drink
to have fun.
That is the anti, like, that's the against everything I believe when it comes to event planning.
Yeah.
If somebody can come to your event dead sober in college.
Do you think this passion, like, did this passion for event planning exist before you came to college?
No.
So it happened, like...
No, I just honestly watched Project X a couple times and was, like, jazzed up.
You were, like, listening to Asher Roth in your headphones, like, let's go! I love college!
Yeah, I was just like, I don't know, like, what I just said, like, how could you not want to do that position?
And so you became social chair.
Yeah, and put just a crazy level of thought into everything. To the point where we would have open parties, I would put a large poster board on the wall, put one question in the middle, and a bunch of markers out, because I was like, this is an icebreaker. And then you watch people walk up to it, and another person walk up to it, write their answer, and you're like, oh, you wrote that, and they're having a conversation. Because for the first hour of a party, all you need to do is tide people over and have people talk and mingle enough till you hit critical mass. Mm-hmm. Once you hit critical mass, everything hits the fan, it's a great party no matter what.
Right.
But if for that first hour, if you can manage that, you're golden. And then have events, like have like activities, the things that are the center of the... Like,
have invites, drum up the...
Invites, throw little invites.
Do you remember the invites we made?
I love the invites we made.
The champagne labels.
Where we just slap custom labels on every champagne. We only buy champagne. So I'm like, I'm taking the house beer money this week and only buying champagne. Custom labels, I put a projector up.
Sparklers on the champagne.
Sparklers that
bottle
were...
Bottle service.
Drake night. Yeah, it was Drake night.
It was Drake night.
I was going to dance around it, but it was Drake night.
It was fully Drake night.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun. I wish I remembered more of it.
Definitely same. And that's like the vibe. Like sophomore year was about event planning. And so because of that, I think my dating life also suffered because I was...
You would think it would be the opposite.
You would think
it would
be the opposite, but I was absolutely terrified of the idea of someone coming to our event and feeling uncomfortable because of something I did or something one of the brothers did. Mm-hmm. And so that like inertia just made me never really talk to girls in the romantic manner. Because I was like, I'm like the person running this event and I don't want to be the person like, I was just so scared of being a creep.
And you also just spent a year like not in the headspace of like wanting to meet girls. So to transition out of that like so...
It's just so hard.
Like, yeah.
You just get so used to a different life, whereas, like, it's so foreign to think about, like, actually, like, for, like, lack of a better word, hitting on a girl. Mm-hmm. And I guess I learned a little bit towards the end of sophomore year is when I, like, hooked up with, like, my first girl since, like, high school. Mm-hmm. And so that was, like, the transition.
And was it, like, the catalyst? Like, what happened?
I think what really happened was I went to Austin. Austin, Texas is an amazing place. Anyone who's not been there, go there. I did a summer in Austin after sophomore year. And I lived in a college co-op, which is like, kind of imagine a Greek house, but co-ed and like super liberal. Mm-hmm. Like to the point where it was like clothing optional. And like we all shared the labor, we all shared the cooking, like everything that happened in this cooperative living space was shared.
Yeah.
As the name implied. Yeah. And so these people like jazzed me up and I was like happy with who I was. And I was like, you know what? Like, yeah, maybe I'm like good looking and maybe I am all these like positive attributes that I didn't let myself think. Mm-hmm. And almost maybe too much to the point where I come back junior year. For people listening, if you ever want to radically change your dating life, just only refer to yourself
as hot your name. Yeah, so beginning of junior year, you started this genesis.
Genesis, just a phoenix rising from the ashes. And look, the reason we're laughing so much is because it works. People believe.
Like, it honestly, like, I went away for one semester. One semester, and this man was different.
I was different, and people viewed me differently. And it was the first time in my life I was getting all of this interest from girls, and I honestly didn't know how to deal with it. And
I am gonna say though, and I think it's worth mentioning, like you, I think started taking dancing a lot more seriously. You started working out a lot.
Yeah,
you were meal prepping. Like, like your lifestyle took a complete 180.
It was coming off that Austin bounce. I think a lot of things put it into place, but it was the finishing of my eyes opening. Mm-hmm. So those 2 years before were a lot of like,
you buckled into the passenger seat.
Yeah, the driver's seat.
The driver's seat, my bad, yeah.
Put my hand on the wheel and slammed the gas. I was going.
And now you're out on the open road.
Now I'm out on the open road and I'm not going as fast as I used to go. And I think that's okay.
Yeah.
It's like all like a slider and a learning curve. And like, though I look back on junior year as like very fondly, but do I want to be exactly that person again?
What was that person like?
No, but that person was just like very confident, to a fault, too confident. And the first time you have a lot of girls interested in you and I don't know what the rules are, I felt desired when I went out. Mm-hmm. I wore different clothes, I acted a different way, my body type was a bit different.
But do you feel like that was all you, or do you feel like you were doing it like because you had to, or you felt like this is what was right?
I felt like that was me. I mean, in the moment.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
for those of like people who are listening who are like, well, wait, I want to do that. Like, where do they start?
Yeah, I mean, it first starts with like looking at yourself in the mirror and like, A, being okay with who you are and how you look and accepting your positive attributes that you, like a lot of different personality types, depending on who you are, just push to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to make a change, just saying, I'm going to make that change. It's like a common motto I have in my brain that I very rarely like say out loud. It's like, there ain't nothing to it than to do it. Luckily, like I had the right people around me to like encourage me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I had a
support system.
I live with a friend who radically changed my diet and mm-hmm. my workout routine.
How did you like learn how to cook? How did you like learn how you like to dress, you know? Yeah.
Cooking is an interesting one. Cooking, people always like say like, oh, like where'd you learn how to cook? Cooking, if you're like a process-oriented person, is like super easy. Like, just Google a recipe and do it.
Yeah.
Dressing is tough because there's some sort of like monetary attachment in it. But right. like, I went to a lot of thrift shops. And pick your style icons. There's no shame in having like 3-4 like celebrities or whatever they are.
Who do you like?
Drake.
Right.
I mean, not to like, I don't want to paint myself as a huge Drake fan. I am like a big fan, but like fashion-wise, I love his aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, Michael B. Jordan a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's killing it with his coach campaign and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, a little bit Marvin Gaye. Like, throw in a little bit of the old, like, Spice.
The 70s. The 70s, look, like, some disco vibe.
Disco suits. Like, yeah. You see me wear some, like reflective or, like, flashy stuff.
Yeah.
Leopard print here and there.
I would argue for some people, though, like, and a lot of people, it's not so easy to just get up and do things and change things. There is like mental blocks.
Definitely.
Like, how do you find yourself getting through those?
Recognize those mental blocks and figure out why. I think part of the learning curve I got towards the end of junior year is like being ruthlessly honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because people lie to them. I was lying. I don't want to project. I was lying to myself more than I thought. In the sense that like I would be upset about something and not know why. And then towards later in junior, I'd be like, why? Like, why does this bother me?
Mm-hmm. We veered off a little bit, but like...
Heavily.
Junior year.
So I'm getting with too many girls.
Right. How many is too many?
Not that many, honestly. Like, I think I hooked up with like 4 or 5 girls.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, I don't know, like, some people are friends and like, some people are upset about like certain situations. And I think certain people wanted to date me, and obviously if you want to date someone and they hook up with somebody else, you're gonna be upset.
And you weren't ready to date anyone at this point. You had just
no
started having your fun.
Phoenix, you know, flying.
couldn't be tied down just yet.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like,
then you became Icarus.
Icarus. He knows that this is a very, very poignant like example metaphor in my life, in my friend group. Because I was flying high, and sometimes you just fly a little too close to the sun and your wings get singed. And look, nothing that terrible happened, thankfully, but...
Basically, what, you were hooking up with people who are best friends?
Yeah, that was one.
That
yeah.
was one.
It's probably
what was
bigger
the other
one.
Stuff?
So I have history with one girl, with girl A.
Mm-hmm.
I'm best friends with boy B. After, like... sometime boy B and girl A are hooking up, which is like a little uncomfortable for me, but whatever, I'm not gonna like you know, kill their vibe.
Right.
I think boy B and girl A are done. I get with girl A, which is already problematic and I know is a mistake,
mm-hmm.
and my friend's mad at me. We work through it. We're good friends now.
Yeah.
But that was probably the pinnacle of where I was like, I was just constantly confronting this question for about 2 months, which was, am I a bad person?
And it because was, you made someone else upset?
Made someone else upset and so many people upset. Like yeah. all your friends were upset. And I think it's now in retrospect, like I think I made some mistakes, but I think a lot of it is the fishbowl environment that we were in a school of.
Oh yeah, of course.
Where, so I think it was exacerbated, but I was just dealing with this. I was like, am I a bad person? I've always at least viewed myself as a kind person ever since the not self-confident days.
Yeah.
And so those things were now in cognitive dissonance, which was causing me a lot of discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot in that stage because it was like, in those moments where you're doubting yourself or like have this kind of question that maybe your brain isn't clear enough to answer, my closest friends were around me and were like, no. Like, sure, okay, girl A, boy B thing was bad and you should apologize and work through that,
mm-hmm.
but people make mistakes. And these other things, people just like to talk. So one time, look, this was unknowing. This is also girl A, and I got with another girl and I didn't know that they were roommates, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand why people will be extremely upset right. by something like that. And in no way, shape, or form was that my intention. I just genuinely did not know. But yeah, that's something that was...
And that's one of those moments that girls sit in like a room and they're talking and they're like, men are so stupid.
Yeah.
How did he know?
But I don't know your rooming assignment. Like, I don't... What?
You knew they were friends though.
No.
Really?
Just didn't know.
It happens. Okay, so junior year happened... Icarus. You were kind of a slut. You...
little. Not a lot.
Not a lot. A little. And...
Senior year, I leave.
Yeah. You dipped.
At a good time for me.
Basically.
Really refreshing. Go to London. I go. I'm a little more toned down. Not a lot more toned down.
Right.
Which is probably where I'm at now. And just make friends. It was kind
you
of
you had
like,
the time of your life in London,
Austin
too,
though. Austin 2.0.
Yeah.
Like, the same people had, like, same type of energy in the people I met. So I go to London, I meet a guy who's also a software developer who's like the same humor as me, like.
So you meet British version of you.
I meet British me. And I don't know if I've ever like, there was a high level of companionship with that man. And we just like would go out together and like talk to strangers together.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the first forays into talking to like random people.
Did anything happen in London?
I guess a little conservative because of what happened junior year.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people were younger. They were freshmen, I was senior, because mm-hmm. they were just entering their first year of school. I was in a freshers hall because that's how they put the study abroad students.
Yeah.
there are definitely like, there were like a couple like really amazing girls I met. And I think I had like very flirtatious and romantic relationships with them, but nothing physical.
So you come back from London.
Come back from London.
We got one semester left of college.
One semester left. And it's a doozy. I actually came back and
are
was
we
like,
thinking junior year reprise or
no.
What person are you now?
I came back and was like, I just want to hang out with my friends. And
yeah.
I'm not concerned with women.
That, and honestly, that's exactly how I came back from London as well.
Yeah. Well, you had a boyfriend.
Okay, well,
it's not yeah, it's a little different. But yeah, you know, that's what it was. And then I guess in those moments are typically when you get hit with like things that like actually, you know, girls you really like, and which is like kind of what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
So first I met this like amazing person. I was like, you're like the girl I actually attempted to kiss freshman year. And it was like an awkward like skirt situation very early on, like mm-hmm. in freshman year, and she had left. And then we like hit it off. And so obviously there's a part of like young you, which is like, oh man, like you've improved so much. Like this girl will talk to you.
Yeah.
And so we have like a thing, and like just conversing with her was like crazy. Cause like she had a very interesting major and like she would tell me about all the things she did. And I was like so sucked in.
Yeah.
And it was like, I went on one probably official date with her.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, like, at that point, I didn't know, like, how to date or, like, go on dates. Like, it was still, like, college, and it was, like, foreign to me that you would just, like, get dinner with people or, like, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was so ingrained to, like, the, like, party culture or whatever. Like, you just meet out, like, priest, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And that's just what it was. And then I met another girl, and she was just, like, also incredible.
Mm-hmm.
She shared the dance passion with me, and I thought she was dating somebody else at the time, so I was like, oh, like, this is fine, whatever, we're just becoming good friends.
Mm-hmm.
Later realized we're not, and then I was just like, had these two incredible people in my life, and, like, you know, there's one night of, like, somewhat overlap, if you will. Like, basically, I was hooking up with these two girls, and there was, like, one night where we all made out. And so it's like, they definitely know about each other, right? Like, I don't want to hide that either. Like, I'm not trying to mislead people. I'm the kind of person, like, if it's casual, like, I want to make sure you know.
Yeah.
I learned that from junior year. People think we're dating, we're not.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, so they definitely knew about each other. I have, like, strong feelings for both. And it was just, like, an amazing situation. Because I could just hang out with either. And then it just kind of faded into I was hanging out with
you
the other girl.
You throw some alcohol and a limo into the mix.
Yeah.
Sheesh. You never know what's going to happen, really.
This is the greatest night of my life.
For so many different reasons, I think. Not just that.
I mean, you know, sometimes the stars align. You're in a limo. You got champagne. You're best friends. And two girls that like you.
And are down.
Honestly, I felt like they liked each other more than me.
Possibly.
Kudos, you know, like, I
get
it. I
can see that happening.
They're both great.
They are both great.
Yeah.
So what ended up happening with that?
I think I heard from a friend of a friend. They're like, the first girl I met described me as a nice fuckboy, which was like...
Interesting.
I was upset by that because at that time I had not even met the second girl. Mm-hmm. It was like quickly after that all that stuff happened. And I was really trying to be like not that.
Yeah.
And I think a part of me like heard that, which should never be the case. I'm like, don't like letting like friends of friends, you know, like decide things. But mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I guess if that's what she thinks, like maybe that's the role I'll fulfill,
mm-hmm.
which is like effed up. But like a part of me was really hurt. And I was like, sure.
Yeah.
We can have that relationship if you want. So my girl too. And it just kind of like ended up just gradually spending more time with the second girl.
Mm-hmm.
And like we had dance in common. So like we would see each other at dance things.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just had real feelings for her. I do still. It's not the same, like it's not just cuts off like that. But
mm-hmm.
We had like an amazing time together. The end of senior year, like we're like the last week, we spent a lot of time. I probably slept at her place like the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And like we had this moment where like we're out in the park, just like looking at the stars. It's like 4 a.m. And like I have somebody next to me that I really care about. And that was like the first time in like 4 years where I had that like moment.
With someone. Yeah.
As clearly as that. Like, had pseudo moments or, like, half moments. But that was a moment. Full on.
Yeah.
And it's something I'll never forget. But then, she lives in the West Coast. I live in the East Coast. And I'm not going to run that distance game again. And
yeah, graduation happened. And
yeah.
You're here now.
That's it.
So, what's going on now?
Now, I work. I work pretty hard. I dance a lot.
I throw pre-games every once in a while.
I throw pre's every once in a while. Like,
you try to hit the...
Slide the DMs, like, come through.
Hit the best pre-game spot in New York City.
We play Jenga. It's got, like, things written on it.
We got activities going on.
You know we got activities.
It's my number on one of those blocks.
It is. Yeah, well, that's your fault. You wrote it.
I don't remember that.
Hey. That's how the game goes sometimes.
I know. I got a random text and I was like, who are you?
Yeah, you texted me and I was trying to play coy. And then you just immediately followed up with, it's my number on a Jenga block. But yeah, it's been a little slow. Like, I've been on a couple of dates, but it's just different. I think, like, how do you meet people?
How have you been meeting people? What have those dates been?
People from the past I already knew. And that's, like, a part of me is, like, I'm in New York, like, I don't want to be that person that never, like, branches out.
Yeah, I mean, you're in one of the biggest cities in the world.
Yeah. When I'm out with my friends, I'm out with my friends.
Yeah. I've been saying this. Like,
yeah, I've heard it on the previous episodes, and it's something I've felt. But I get better at this every time because I realize, like, people are coupling off a little bit. Like, you know, a bunch of people are dancing. Like, whatever. Like, I'll go talk to some people, and I've had, like, positive responses. Like,
yeah,
no one has been like, get out of my face, you're stupid. Like,
yeah.
It's been good, but I think
you gotta shoot your shot.
I just need to like do more of that and have those conversations last longer.
Yeah.
To the point where I feel comfortable asking you for your number. And I think that's just a process and it's something I'll get better at, but I could have done better, I guess, in the last 4 months for sure.
So what about dating apps? Like, are you on any of those? Like,
I am on them. I have.
What are you on?
I'm on Hinge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Tinder and Bumble, but I haven't used them in months.
Mm-hmm.
I think classically, like most of your user base and most of like America at this moment, I use Hinge, but I have not ever met somebody off a dating app yet.
Okay. And what's like holding you back? Like any other obstacle you've sort of tackled in your life, why haven't you sat down and been like, why can't I do this?
Because I think I have thought about it. I think it's because I don't want to at the moment. Because
you don't want to meet new people? Or?
I do want to meet new people, but I don't necessarily want to just start off by going on a random date right now. I think this is something I'm quickly becoming open to, so this might change within like weeks.
Yeah.
2020,
baby.
But I kind of have this dream of meeting somebody like completely fresh in the world. And
yeah.
I think I'm close. That's
and
probably...
don't you think like a dating app would be the way to do that?
No, but what I'm talking about is like first time meeting someone in the
organically.
World. Organic. No, I don't like these things are organic as well, but it's just like in the physical space. And I think I'm really close, which is why I haven't turned as much to like, all right, I'm gonna close on my Hinge.
What do you mean by close?
As in like I've had conversations with girls out and like people like, you know, in randoms. Like I meet a new girl in my elevator like once a week.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, how am I supposed to, in 15 to 20 seconds...
Elevator pitch, baby.
I'm hitting them with my best elevator pitch. And then, you know what? It's floor 18 and they've gotten out. But, like, I'm hoping one of these days I'll see these elevator girls again in the elevator.
Okay, you're going to have to put out some work outside of your elevator.
Fine. All right, the elevator's not it. But, like, I think I'm getting better at meeting people as the cold, like, out in the world at bars. And I think I'm close to being able to, like, go on a date with one of those girls. So I think, like... like every weekend, it might be the weekend so far. Like, you know, like I've talked to girls to the point and it's like, and then I was
how do you approach a
girl at the bar? I haven't asked for the number. Oh, how do I approach a girl at the bar? I'll usually pick an act, something going on, like in the bar, and just comment on it. Like literally, like the last one I did was, it's a huge line in like a kind of coolly lit like area. And I'm like, is that a line for like a second part of this bar or is that just the bathroom?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh no, that's the bathroom. And I was like, I don't know. Like, and then it just kind of like spiraled from there and into a conversation. Like weird, like casual things.
Yeah, it's not weird. Like, can I buy you a drink?
Yeah. Everyone, like when you ask this question, not everyone, but like a lot of people have been like, oh, like ask them what they're drinking. And I was like, is that really it?
Because no.
No.
It's not.
You know what I tell you is not it?
Yeah.
One time I walked up to a girl because my friend was like, yeah, that girl looks like an au pair. And
what?
You know what an au pair is? Like the babysitters?
Yes. Yeah. Why would someone be like, this girl looks like an au pair?
I don't know, but you know, we had a few drinks and he's like, you should go ask her. And so I walk up to this girl and I'm like, yo, like, hey, like, weird question, but are you an au pair? And she looks at me and she goes, no, can you go back to your boyfriend? And I'm like, respect, well played.
Oh my God.
So it's a learning curve. Can we talk about dating in the workplace?
Yeah, sure.
Because it's something I'm highly uncomfortable with.
Yeah, go ahead.
So PSA, something not to do. If you work at a company that's like relatively small and is a tech company,
sounds very specific.
I can guarantee an engineer will be highly uncomfortable with your forward attempts.
This sounds very targeted.
This happened to me.
Oh, really?
Over the summer. I was starting my job. Oh, sorry. In the first week of me being there. Like, first week. Mm-hmm. You know how you go into your new job and you're like, I'm going to impress people. I want to be good.
Right.
I'm not going to make any mistakes. Mm-hmm. I have an intern. Not even a full-time. I have an intern, like, DM me, like, at 2 a.m., on like a Wednesday.
Not okay.
Being like, let's get dinner, which is a rather sweet text, but also the context around it is like,
all of it is off. Is
highly inappropriate. To which my response, you're gonna throw up in your mouth. But I respond with what I thought was carefully crafted. Hey, sorry, I'm kind of in an Ariana Grande post Pete Davidson thank you next mood where I'm not really going on dates with people at the moment. But if you want to come hang out with my friends, we should totally link for Prees this weekend. That's what I came to as my careful and consciously crafted response to an intern's...
What time did you send this?
Like 9 a.m., like 8 a.m. before I got to work. Because I was like, I'm going to nip this in the bud. Like, I don't want to have it be awkward when I see her.
But the thing is... It's kind of genius in a way that, like, if I ever got that message, I would be so turned off that I would be so, like, you know what? It's fine.
It's so chaotic. It's like, what was I thinking?
But it's just like, yeah, never mind. It's okay.
But it didn't work in that way. She kept coming up to my desk and, like, trying to, like, obviously, like, if you want to be friends, sure. But, like, it seems pretty evident that's not what you're angling for. And I was just, like, pretty uncomfortable in my workplace, which I know that's definitely how so many, like, women feel across, like, the world in way worse ways. Like, I've already had people within the 4 months of us, like, our class starting work, tell me all these stories, and it's, like, horrific. And I was luckily in the position where she left. I also, like, am a boy, mm-hmm. My manager's a boy, so I'm sure people would have understood had it ever got to the point where I needed to say something, but it probably wouldn't. Mm-hmm. But, like, so many women are in the place where they can't say anything because, like, they're scared they're going to cause an issue and you're uncomfortable in your workplace. And, like, so for people out there, like, just be so careful about that. Like, it's one of the worst feelings. And this is in your workspace. Like, this is where your brain and your focus needs to be the clearest, like, as it can be so that you can push out the best work. And it's, like, I just really don't understand.
Can you believe, like, before, like, dating apps and stuff, like, people met the people...
Damn.
They like
I never thought about that. Yeah,
that's stuff, like at work. It was like school and work.
That's absolutely church, I guess. Terrifying,
right?
To me.
The extreme HR violations that have definitely happened in the past
and continue to happen.
Yeah, well, obviously. And I feel like we got real deep into how to glow up here. Yeah. You gave us the how to glow up 101.
Yeah.
Was it like a life coaching episode?
Yeah. And no one asked for it.
No, not one person asked for it.
People wanted some tea and I gave them coffee. I gave them some high caffeine.
People are sitting here being like, did I just listen to this for a full hour?
Yeah, they probably didn't.
Okay, so we are going to answer some questions that have been on my Instagram at drinks.first. We do a lot of fun little polls. Usually they're related to the prior episode, but this is just going to be a little bit of a mishmash.
Yeah, wrap up the whole season.
Yeah, and we're gonna just peruse through some questions.
Fire away.
And let's see where it gets us. Would you get with someone in an open relationship?
Get with, yes, date, no.
Have you ever been stood up?
Yep.
What happened?
I think you know the story. Sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
Freshman year. Friends with the social chair at the time. He's a good friend of mine. He's a highly social person.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yo, I'm like, oh, I don't know who I'm going to bring. He's like, don't worry. I'll touch you with one of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
The girl he was saying, I was like, I know her name. Like, I know she's like drop dead gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, of course. Yes.
Yeah.
Get there. You know, I'm learning. I'm early on. So I buy, you know, the big bottle of wine, I'm like ready.
Right.
It's like a date night or whatever, but in the frat house, you know, time goes by, dates are showing. I'm like, oh, she's just like running late. She was coming from a concert or whatever. Mm-hmm. Time goes by. I'm like, oh, I might as well just start the bottle. Like, you know, it's like kind of like weird. I'm still here and no one's here.
Yeah.
Time goes by. The bottle's like almost done. And I'm like, oh, I've been stood up.
So sad.
She took Molly and just, you
forgot.
Know.
Forgot.
And just was just rolling face too hard to realize.
Happens. If you don't kiss someone on the first date, is it not a big deal or is it a red flag?
Not a big deal. Please tell me this is not a big deal because sometimes I'm too awkward to kiss somebody after the
first
date.
No, I mean, we talked about this briefly on the podcast before, but like there have been times I've been with girlfriends and it's even happened to me where I'm on a first date and like we don't kiss and then I'm like, did I do something wrong? Like, was it not? Were they not interested? Like, yeah,
I think I effed this up in London.
Well, there needs to be like some other confirmation if a kiss doesn't happen. So
what
it's
about
like
asking you on a second date?
Well, yeah, but also like maybe like it needs to be a little extra. Like
why?
Because
if someone's asking you on a second date, they're interested in you.
Well, like how soon are you asking?
Within a week, within 2 weeks, no, ever.
No,
you if you don't go on date people you're not interested in.
No, but yeah, no, that's, I mean, no. Or just, I had a really good time tonight.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you're asking them on a second date. You're just kind of like
bolstering
the confidence. That's enough.
But when in doubt,
like, and like soon
first.
After.
Yeah. But when in doubt, smooch first.
Yeah.
Roll the dice. Lean in.
Yeah.
All right. Noted.
Have you slept with someone on the first date?
No.
Do all men like the crazy?
No. Some people like extreme stability. Do all X like X, Y is always a no.
Okay.
Do I like the crazy? Yes.
Can you expand on that?
Just a little spice, you know, a little sugar and spice, a little sweet, a little crazy. I mean, I like to be sometimes
played with, toyed.
I like to be toyed, you know, like a yarn and you're the cat. No. I think it's just like when you're somewhat unexpected, it's refreshing.
If you casually got with someone once, would you get with their sibling?
No.
If you're moving in a month, do you tell your date on the first date that you're not looking for anything serious, or do you just not mention it?
I don't think you have to do that on the first date because the first date is so exploratory in like the core of what it is. But if you want to like casually slip it into a joke, like you're like, oh, I hate my work, but thank God I'm moving to London in a month. Like, something like that,
mm-hmm.
Like little stuff like that, which are jokes that are informative, I think are a good way of conveying rather like not sensitive but important topics,
mm-hmm.
Very casually.
If you don't have the same taste in music, is it fine or is it a red flag?
Red flag. Deal breaker.
Really?
Yeah. Nah, red flag, not deal breaker. But I'm a very like music-oriented person,
mm-hmm.
Like extremely. I commonly have this like joke with my friends. Not really a joke, which is like some people look up people's Instagrams after like they have a big crush on girls. I actively look up your Spotify account. I will go to your Spotify account, find your recently played artists, find your public playlists.
You are bringing up a level of stalking we have not.
I don't
approached.
Look up. I don't look you up on anything else. That's the thing. I'm going to
Spotify
your
Spotify stalking.
Spotify. I go to your Spotify. If I see some Daniel Caesar, I see some Cali Uchis.
Some Drake.
Yeah, Drake. But like, I'm looking for like some deep R&B cuts,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I see some Zap for all of you people out there. Look up Zap. But yeah, if you have like a...
That Daydream Mossy.
All these artists, like some Brent Fayaz. Oh.
If you see the deep cuts, you're like, oh shit.
I'm ready.
Okay, how old is... like the oldest person you would go on a date with?
33. That's so arbitrary. But when I was 18, I did kiss a 30-year-old.
How did that happen?
We worked together. I was so cliche. I was the receptionist at a firm, like a company that did things, and she was like one of the employees. And after my time had finished as a receptionist, I don't know how it happened, but we essentially went on a date and we kissed and then I panicked and left.
You were 18?
Yeah.
And she was 30?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it was nice.
I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
Do you schedule a date if you know you have a commitment 1.5 hours after?
No. It relates to what I said earlier. You gotta be ready for anything. You gotta be ready for the best night of your life.
I guess that's a good mentality. You go into a date thinking that it's gonna be amazing. Well, what if it's not?
Not expecting, but being ready.
Being ready.
Because I've been on some trash dates. I've been on some dates where I couldn't wait for them to end.
Mm-hmm.
And
what makes a trash date?
Great question. Excellent question. The one that stands out to me the most was if your way of conversing is complaining about things in your life, really do not like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need positivity. And if you don't have positive people around you, you're going to be a negative person. And it's easy for you to not like stuff.
Are you a pursuer or a pursued?
Pursuer, but I will definitely try to play for moments where I'm the pursued.
Mm-hmm.
It's a give and take. Cat and mouse. Meow.
Do you think it's important to have a significant chunk in your life where you are single / alone?
Yes. All you serial monogamous out there, you need a year. You need to do nothing but focus on yourself. I'm kidding. No one needs to do anything. But I think that I had a significant chunk of my life single, and I enjoyed it a lot, and I would recommend.
Okay. Now, here are some questions on my polls that have been split 50-50 or 49-51.
Okay.
Which is worse, a serial monogamist or a non-monogamist?
Serial monogamist.
Once a cheater, always a cheater.
Yeah.
Split the bill even if they ordered more on an early in the game date.
Yeah, of course. I don't mind that. I don't know what the answer was. I think that's fine.
Have you farted in front of a date?
Like, intentionally, no. Unintentionally, yes.
Bring back Yik Yak.
Absolutely bring back Yik Yak.
This was such a divisive question.
People didn't want it back.
It's split 50-50.
To be fair, there was a lot of like really inappropriate hate on there, which I don't vibe with. But the core like crux of what it is, which is geolocated, just like
Reddit.
Random, like Reddit, I think is awesome.
Do most of your relationships start with casual hooking up or dates?
I've only had one relationship. And I would say dates. I like when you meet somebody and from the beginning, it's romantic.
Mm-hmm. Our final section is something I like to call shots.
Count me in.
And they're basically this or that questions. And you need to answer rapid fire.
Yeah, give me a second. Take a shot.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry.
Can we play where you answer too?
I mean, everyone asks me this. You're not the first one. Let me ask you first, and if you have any questions for me, I will answer them.
Yeah.
Okay. A month without your car or a month without the internet?
A month without the car. Pitch Perfect 1, Pitch Perfect 2.
We're not tennis racketing here. No.
This is going to be great. The fans will love it.
Pitch Perfect 1.
Okay. Good. Smart.
A successful career or a happy family life?
I'm going to sound like a dick. Career. Federer or Nadal?
Federer.
Good choice.
Be a dragon or a unicorn?
Dragon. Pasta shells or rotini?
Shells.
That's my friend. That's my homie right there.
Be a poet or a scientist?
Scientist. Tomatoes, a fruit or not?
Fruit.
I think there's a real answer to that. I don't know what it is.
That is a real answer. It has seeds.
Well, you're smart. Poet or scientist?
Be an honest... Wait, what was your question?
Poet or scientist?
Scientist. Be an honest asshole or a sweet liar?
Honest asshole. Red or white wine?
White. Be financially bankrupt or emotionally bankrupt?
What about both? financially bankrupt. Pepsi or Coke?
Coke.
I'm gonna keep doing drinks.
Drinks first.
I guess that's fair.
Be in a room with Daniel Caesar.
Daniel Caesar.
Drake.
Drake. It's Drake. It's for sure Drake. I feel like you party with Drake and it's just gonna be a great time. B be in a room with Rihanna or Beyonce?
Beyonce.
Fenty, though.
Yeah, Fenty, but also just, like,
yeah,
historically.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Be strong or smart?
Smart. Be dumb or foolish? Same thing.
Same exact thing. But I would be foolish.
Okay.
Because I feel like you could be smart and foolish.
Yeah. I would argue I might be smart and foolish. Me both.
You might be right.
Round or square glasses?
Round.
Good thing I just switched.
Didn't ask.
I have round glasses, people.
All right, on that note, iPhone or Android?
Oh, this is very...
This is a deep question for you.
Just to give the background, I was a hardcore Samsung user. I feel like I could just already feel the people cringing on the other end of this podcast.
Hardcore.
Where I was like, people.
Green text purist.
Green,
like,
text committed. You
oh
know,
my
like,
God.
My argument was,
he would die for the green
people
text.
People only use iPhones as a social context. I still agree with it. But when I switched to an iPhone, when junior year started, I got more texts back than I did with the green bubble. So.
This is what I'm saying.
Morally incorrect, but iPhone.
Die peacefully in 5 years or horribly in 15 years?
Jeez.
Some of these are deep. Shots don't go down easy.
Horribly in 15. Let's go. We live in. I don't have one for you right now.
That's totally fine. That was not the point of this whatsoever.
Take care. Nothing was the same.
Take care.
Pretty solid, yeah. I think I would say that as well.
Mm. If you had a boat, what would you name it?
La Santa Milka.
Thank you so much for joining us for our season finale of Drinks First.
Thank you for having me.
I'm
certain I didn't live up to the billing.
It is, no, I'm honestly, like, to the listeners, thank you so much for supporting me the past few months. I never thought this would become what it has become, and you know, it's not that big, but
it's pretty big.
It's beyond what I ever imagined, and I'm so thankful and so grateful for all of you. I'm going to be taking a short hiatus so I can come back and improve and build on the second season of Drinks First, which is going to be incredible. So please continue to look out for that. If you are interested in meeting this guest, you can slide into the DMs at drinks.first on Instagram. If you don't have an Instagram, you can email me, drinksfirstpodcast@gmail.com. We're inclusive here.
I love that.
And if you guys like this podcast, it really, really, really helps me out, and it absolutely makes my day if I see a rating and a review on Apple. Like, I've been so blessed so far to have really great ratings and reviews from people, honestly, I don't even know. And that is, like, the most rewarding thing. I can't even tell you. So if you could do that, subscribe, follow on any platform you're listening on, and catch up on all of the episodes if you haven't listened to them yet. The DMs are always open for everyone that has been on for season 1.
And me.
And I'll see you guys for season 2. Peace.